96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It may feel like a cold, but often the symptoms for allergies are much more complex and arguably much more unpleasant. This is the season for it. But why do we have allergies and how can we find relief? It's a Medical Monday conversation, and tonight my guest is Dr. Autumn Burnett. She is an assistant professor with Howard University Hospital's Division of Allergies. You can give us a call if you are struggling with allergies, if your children are struggling with allergies, if you're trying to find relief, if you're trying to figure out what your allergy issue happens to be. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Burnett, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. Well, welcome. Well, I should say thank you for
having me.
Well, thank you. I'm so welcome to be here.
And you don't have allergies.
I have a few.
Okay, sniffing and sneezing.
No seasonal, but a few food allergies.
Well, maybe we can talk about that as well. But let's talk about the sniffing and the sneezing and all of that. What are allergies exactly?
It's your body's immune response to an antigen or an allergen, essentially. And that allergen can be anything. If you're talking about outdoor allergen, it could be trees, grasses, weeds, some sort of pollen, or even a mold that's airborne and outside. Or it could be to indoor things like dander, cat and dog and cockroach and dust mite. So allergens can be essentially a variety of different types of things, but those are the ones that we most commonly think of when we think of allergy.
How do you know that you have an allergy? What you said, it's your body's immune system response?
You have a reaction. You are surrounded by that thing that triggers you. And let's just say it's tree pollen. You go outside, it's a seasonal thing. You only get it during that time of year when that tree is pollinating. And the symptoms can be a variety of different things: sneezing, nasal itching, drainage, itchy, watery red eyes, breathing problems, wheezing, coughing, shortness of breath, skin itching, hives on the skin, eczema. So different types of reactions on the body can be an alert and a sign of allergy.
Are allergies dangerous?
They can be problematic, if you will, and bothersome. But they're very manageable. Certain medications can manage them. Avoidance techniques and mechanisms can manage them. So I would say they're bothersome and they're problematic and they can affect your daily life. Danger is a strong word.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's raining.
Yes.
Today. Is that a good sign for people who are allergic to pollen and the like?
Probably, yes. They like the rain because it washes away the airborne pollen that's in the air. So the rain is good for those pollen allergic patients.
But what about early in the spring when we've heard weathercasters say, well, this kind of weather is good or this kind of weather is bad for people that are suffering from those kinds of plant allergies? What kind of weather are we talking about? Are we talking about more rain, less rain? What?
So typically the nice, pretty days that we all love to be outside and kind of hang out and spend time with our loved ones are the days that are worse for the pollen allergic patients. Pollen is an airborne type of allergen, so it floats around when it's nice, pretty, sunny, and dry.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a Medical Monday. We are talking about allergies of all types, and particularly for those of you who are having the itchy eyes, the runny nose, the drainage in the back of the throat, that itching, that uncomfortable feeling. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk a little bit about the treatments. There are so many pills out there and and things that people can take to address allergies. How do you know what to take?
Well, you should identify the trigger, and that's always the first step, is knowing what your trigger is so that you can practice the appropriate avoidance measures. For instance, if it's tree pollen, it's grass pollen, ragweed, I would definitely tell patients to close their doors and windows during those time of the months where those things are pollinating, and also to, if they're outside for long periods of time, if they come indoors, to bathe off the allergen, kind of do a rinse, wash off your face, get the allergen off of the skin. That always helps as well. Get it out of the hair, that sort of thing. But then there are obviously medications that you can take, antihistamines to stop the sneezing and the itching and the drainage. If you're having breathing problems, there's asthma inhalers that sometimes need to be prescribed. And of course, the nasal sprays. Now, most of the nasal sprays, nasal steroid sprays, are over the counter. So it's very accessible now for people to manage their allergies over the counter.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about allergies tonight. If you have them, perhaps a family member has an allergy or allergies, what should you do to treat them? Give us a call. Lines are open again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Natalie calling from Randallstown. Thanks for calling, Natalie. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead. Turn your radio down, Natalie. Go
ahead. Yes, right. Hi. I'm Natalie, and I have a 16-year-old son who is has allergies, and he does a lot of sneezing, and he has asthma and everything as well. What is a good medication over the counter? I got him, what is it called, Zyrtec? Is that good?
It's a standard, yes, that's a standard allergy pill. It's a standard antihistamine, what we call it, and it works most commonly if they're sneezing or itching. It works best when you're treating things like sneezing or itching.
I can't hear.
Okay. Speak a little louder.
Okay. It works best when you're treating sneezing and itching of the nose. But if you're worried about him having a stuffy nose or nasal congestion, a nasal spray, and they have many over-the-counter, nasal steroid sprays. I believe there's many, many different ones over-the-counter, Flonase, Nasonex, that can be used if there's congestion or a stuffy nose. And if these things aren't helpful, maybe having him have some allergy testing to try to really identify what those triggers are.
Okay. Natalie, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about allergies tonight. If it's a problem for you or someone you love, give us a call. The doctor is in. Let's talk to Joshua. Joshua calling from Landover. Well, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How's it going?
Just fine.
I've had allergies since I was a baby. My mom said I had to get my tonsils taken out early on, before maybe I was even five, because of drainage, sinus drainage. And it consistently is happening now. I'm 24, turning 25 this year. And I'm still battling seasonal allergies. Never the food allergies. That's never been my problem. It's always seasonal allergies. Over-the-counter stuff has never worked for me, and doctors never really believed it. The Flonase, the Zyrtec, the Zyzones, all of that Tylenol has never, ever worked. So I'm really just trying to find my next best solution before, you know, I go crazy.
Have you ever had allergy testing?
Say that one more time.
Ever had allergy testing?
I have not. I haven't.
Okay, that's the first step, because sometimes sinus problems are allergies, but then sometimes sinus problems are other things. So identifying exactly where the trigger, where the problems are, especially if you think it's a seasonal thing, the first place to start, especially if medication is not working. If you identify an allergen that you're allergic to on allergy testing, maybe you can talk to the allergist about allergy injections.
Okay.
Okay. And then the allergy testing that you were speaking of, is that the one where they put the needles in your arm and
correct,
you figure it out then? Okay. All right. Well, I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joshua. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about allergies, the sniffing, sneezing, stuffy head, because you can't work. issues. Give us a call. Lines are open. Yuri, calling from Southern Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? A long-time allergy sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have allergy problems anymore. 14 years and counting. And the secret, it's not a secret, change the diet. Change the diet. Stop drinking the sodas, stop eating the sugar, change the diet. We'll have no more allergy problems.
What,
thanks for taking my call.
What, Yuri, what were you allergic to?
I used to be allergic to the pollen. You know, I don't have food allergies anymore, but I was allergic to the pollen, the trees. I'm not even affected by it anymore. I changed my diet.
Hmm.
That's what everyone needs to do, change the diet.
Okay. Thank you so much. Your thoughts about that, Dr. Burnett?
There are certain people that have symptoms, what we call food intolerances, that actually can cause inflammation in the skin or in the nasal passages. For instance, milk, dairy can cause a lot of nasal congestion from the casein in the milk. Some people get nasal congestion from a heavy amount of gluten or wheat. But these aren't necessarily food allergies per se. They may be food reactions or food intolerances. And sometimes people do feel better when they improve their diet and take out the foods that are inflammatory foods. There is something to be said about food intolerances and foods that cause just natural inflammation in the body.
Interesting. But how is that different from an allergy to food? Because he also mentioned that he was allergic to pollen and changing his diet impacted that. I'm obviously not a physician,
It may confuse some people as to why his diet was changed, and I can't explain his symptom improvement in that regard. They are different. That's pretty much what I'll end this with. They're different. Food allergy is an immune IgE-mediated.
IgE-mediated.
It's an allergy antibody.
Okay.
IgE is an allergy antibody. And so you have to make IgE or allergy antibody to actually have a true allergy to something. And the symptoms are different. Okay. So people may have food intolerances like lactose intolerance. They get bloated. They may have loose stools because of the lactose. They lack an enzyme called lactase. So that would be a food intolerance. Quite different. The mechanism of action is different. The symptoms are different. Food intolerances are different from food allergy. However, people that have pollen allergy can also have reactions to foods that are in the same food family as pollen. For instance, apple, peaches, plums, cherries are in the same family as pollen that is tree pollen, such as birch tree. So there's different types of food reactions. It's a long conversation, if you will.
Yeah, we have time.
It's a long conversation. And a lot of times it takes hours to kind of break down for patients. It takes time to do the testing to see if there's a true allergy antibody that they're making to the food versus if they're just intolerant to the food. Is it a food that belongs to the tree pollen that they're allergic to and they're reacting because it's a cross sensitivity reaction to the pollen? They're eating the food in the same protein family. So a lot of times it's about testing. It's about asking the right questions and doing a very thorough history to really get to the bottom of it. And sometimes with just eliminating certain things that are triggering reactions, obviously that may help symptomatically. But making the distinction between food allergy and food intolerance, I think, is the first step.
And I think that that's a fine point that a lot of people don't understand. And to be quite honest, I had never heard that before, but it makes sense that there are some things that you may not necessarily be allergic to, but they do cause a reaction in the body. Thank you for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about allergies tonight. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. Of course, we will always be answering your questions even after 7:30. Let's go to Loretta calling from Greenbelt. Loretta, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I am a lifelong allergy haver, and I recently had a test done to find out what my seasonal allergies consist of. I heard you mention that eczema can sometimes be triggered as a result of seasonal allergies. My dermatologist has given me ointment with steroids, but it hasn't seemed to alleviate the eczema, the inflammation of my skin. So I was wondering, do you have any suggestions as to maybe some over-the-counter medications that maybe I could use to alleviate the eczema? Because I think it's gotten worse with this current allergy season.
Loretta, I need you to hang on. She is going to answer your question after the break. You will be able to hear the answer. Just please do not hang up. Also, Ronald calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you next, so stay on the line. And also Meredith calling from D.C. Stay with us. If you have a question or a comment, we're still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about allergies, and that conversation will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your questions and comments in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about allergies on this Medical Monday. What are they? How do you find relief? It is a Medical Monday. My guest is Dr. Autumn Burnett, Assistant Professor with Howard University's Hospital's Division of Allergies. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Loretta was asking about her allergy issue. Doctor?
I think one of the most important things about eczema is trying to understand where it's coming from. Treatment with the topical steroid is pretty much the basic first line of care to manage eczema or atopic dermatitis, but also trying to identify the triggers as well can be helpful with maybe lessening the severity of the eczema. So I'm not sure if that has been thoroughly investigated on her or on her part, but I do highly recommend if she has been seen by a dermatologist, make that visit to an allergist as well, and to try to also see if there's an allergic component to the eczema.
Okay. Loretta, thank you so much for your phone call. Meredith calling from DC. Meredith, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, so I have a 9-year-old daughter who has chronic asthma, and she's also allergic to dogs and cats. I had the allergy test done. Yesterday we were playing outside, and then all of a sudden she got these hives all over her eyes. They swelled up. We were at my boyfriend's parents' house, and they have a pit bull. And I do know that she's allergic to animals, but my boyfriend was kind of troubled at the fact that, you know, he wants to get a dog, and I was, you know, saying, like, is it a way that she can tolerate animals ever? Will the allergy shots help her out? She loves dogs and cats. She also wants one, but I don't want to put her at risk because whenever she has an allergic reaction, it triggers her asthma, and she's, like, on several different medications with her asthma.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, this always comes up with, you know, should we adopt the pet or not adopt the pet? And I don't ever tell people whether they should adopt pets or not. However, I will say that, yes, I mean, having an animal in the home may exacerbate the asthma. It may exacerbate the skin, and she may have issues with hives and itching. And allergy injections may be helpful, but may not, you know, completely alleviate the hives and the skin response. The better thing for a 9-year-old probably would be first, especially if the asthma is extremely severe, would probably err on the side of, you know, avoidance of the things that she's highly allergic to. However, you know, once again, that's a family decision, and maybe even having a thoughtful conversation with your physician.
Okay. Meredith, right. Thank you so much for your phone call. Now, here's a question. Where do the allergies actually come from? Why do they develop in some people and not in others? Some people get them early, and do they go away, or do they not get them early and then they come back later in life? How does that work?
I mean, generally, I think allergies can begin in the childhood arena, if you will. They begin early in life, but that's not always guaranteed. I've seen several 20, 30-year-olds move across the country to a different part of the country, and they have, guess what, allergy symptoms. And they've never had any problems living on, live on the East Coast now, and it's just all downhill. So it's not guaranteed to develop in childhood, but a lot of times, yes, you will see it early on.
Ronald calling from D.C. Ronald, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, just give me the top five allergy medicines you could take. That's the top five. And another question, is it settled to mix, like, if a nasal spray along with, taking a pill?
The second question you had was, is the nasal spray similar to, like, taking a pill? Is that what you asked?
He's asking if you can mix them.
Oh, if you can mix them. I don't like to get into those questions unless I know a full medical history. I know that sounds really like a vague answer. There's no top allergy pills. There are allergy pills, and then there's allergy pills, and then there's what do we, you know, best prescribe for an individual patient. I would say there's antihistamines, there's nasal sprays, but really in order to find the best combination for someone, that's really, it's an individualized approach. It's not cookie cutter.
What kind of symptoms do you have, Ronald?
Oh, I tried everything. I just have the runny nose, the itching eyes. Because like my man said, previous call, he was saying like change your diet, that helped. You know, your allergy shots, that helped. But, you know, it's seasonal. It comes, then it goes. But I was just wondering, is it cool to mix, you know, nasal spray along?
I think it really just depends on the person. That's such a broad question. It really just depends on the patient and what regimen is the best regimen for a particular person. Not everybody needs the same, what I call, cocktail of medications. Everyone's different. Everyone's different. But there's eye drops, there's nasal sprays, there's pills that are antihistamine pills. There are pills that are similar to antihistamine pills called leukotriene pills, which is singular. So there are many different approaches, you know, in terms of treating allergies. It's really having that thoughtful discussion once again, and not trying to just kind of go over the counter and kind of trying to do this on your own. This sometimes requires, you know, help, a physician help, if you will.
Okay. Ronald, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday, and we are talking about allergies, not only allergies affecting your nose and your eyes, but also those food allergies. We're going to get into that in just a bit. But I want to walk back just a little bit, Dr. Burnett, because you talked about allergy testing. Can you walk us through the process of allergy testing? A caller mentioned needles earlier.
So there's a device, a skin test device, that's not specifically a needle on the first round of testing. And it's a scratch underneath the skin, and the allergen is on the skin. So you're scratching the skin, and the allergen will have a small entryway to enter just the superficial top layer of the skin. And if a person has a positive reaction during skin testing, that reaction will form a welt or a hive. It looks similar to like a mosquito bite, and it itches, and it's a sizable measurement that can be measured with a ruler, and it is red. And if it's considered to be positive, then that is an allergen that should be discussed in terms of avoidance measures. But it's fairly straightforward testing that lasts maybe anywhere from half an hour to an hour, depending on how many allergens you're testing for.
Let's talk a little bit about food allergies. A lot of people have seen Will Smith in Hitch when he had the swollen face after having an allergic reaction to seafood. Hollywood magic notwithstanding, what were we seeing in that?
He was having a food allergic reaction.
Okay. Now, what does that mean?
Anaphylaxis. He was having a severe allergic reaction to something that didn't agree with him. Something, some food that he was allergic. I can't remember. What did he eat?
Seafood.
Seafood, yes. He was having a shellfish reaction or typical allergic reaction to a food.
Now, often we hear so much about peanut allergies. There was a recall just last week about some food that was not listed as having nuts in it. Why are these peanut allergies such a big deal over the past several years?
I don't think we can fully explain it. I think part of which is maybe we're not introducing, I think the most recent data and studies have shown that, this Western civilization is not introducing peanut at an early age. Maybe that has something to do with it. There's curiosity about the hygiene hypothesis as well. The cleaner we get, the more allergic we become. But there's data now, encouraging, parents to introduce peanut at an earlier age.
Okay, because I, as growing up, I don't think I ever knew of anyone as a child having any kind of reaction to peanuts or nuts at all. I do seem to remember on occasion there were some adults who may have had a reaction to shellfish, but nuts and the like, not at all. And it's happening now, and it's really, really frightening for a lot of kids and adults, because from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, are these reactions deadly? I mean, we hear about closing of the throat. What's happening there?
Not all of them, but peanut allergy is a food protein, and some individuals are more sensitized to peanut than others. This is where an allergist is really necessary. This is the role of an allergist, is to assess these patients, to skin test or do food blood testing to peanut on these patients, and really get to the bottom of it and identify, are they sensitized? If so, are they symptomatic? If so, are they going to outgrow, or it's not likely that they will outgrow, and when to introduce or when to do what we call oral food challenges under medical supervision. So the more high risk patients should avoid peanut, but if there is a chance that they may be tolerant, then performing oral challenges under strict medical supervision, and this requires a very highly trained allergist.
How does that work?
Oral food challenges. You have a food item that a person is allergic to. They bring the food in, and they are monitored eating small quantities of that food.
Mm, wow.
But these are done under medical supervision. They're not really done at home, per se.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does sound frightening, particularly, again, for someone to the untrained ear, it just the thought of that does sound frightening. Now here's the other thing I've been really dying to ask you. We talk about seafood allergies, and yet there are people who still love seafood and they still eat it, and they say, well, I'll just pop a Benadryl before I eat. Go to the crab feast. Good idea, bad idea? Your thoughts about that?
If you're truly allergic, you're truly allergic, you're truly allergic. Okay. And I often tell patients, true food allergy will break through the pre-medication, if you will. So pre-medication is probably not going to stop anaphylaxis, which is a severe allergic reaction. If you accidentally consume that food, you accidentally eat something and you need to manage it, Benadryl, yes, is given, but it doesn't generally stop the reaction from happening. If you're truly food allergic, generally that breaks through, antihistamines. The best thing to do is avoid the food.
Mm-hmm. Because something, I remember I was in a restaurant a while back. I've never had any allergies to seafood, cook with it all the time, and yet I went to a restaurant and had shrimp, and maybe about 30 minutes in, I began to get something on my face, a little breakout, and it lasted about 30 minutes, and then it went away. is that a food allergy, or was it a reaction to the person I was with? Or you can laugh if you want, but what, I mean,
probably both. No, I'm just kidding. Who's to say? I mean, sometimes you just don't know, and you have to, you know, repeat the encounter. But sometimes people know. Every time they eat shrimp, the same thing happens again and again and again. It sounds like you have had repeated similar reactions to ingestion of shrimp. Am I correct?
No. I mean, this was the first time that I had ever had any kind of reaction to it. And it really kind of surprised me because it was gradual. It wasn't sudden. There was no tingling in the throat. It was just a rash on my face.
Hard to say. If it happens again, I do recommend you have some allergy testing.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's that. I need to take a break. When we come back, more on this Medical Monday about allergies and how you can find relief. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. It's a Medical Monday, and we're talking about allergies of all types, including food allergies. And if you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Herman, calling from Dayton, Ohio. Herman, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, I can barely hear you.
We can hear you. Go right ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Herman. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, I can barely hear you. My phone is acting up.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I have an experience with allergies. As I got older, I realized I developed an allergy for latex. And I thought I was allergic to shrimp at one time, but what I found out was they cooked the shrimp in walnuts. I thought it was a shrimp, but it was the walnuts. And how can that happen as you get older? Because I heard a dietitian was talking just in general about you can develop allergies from eating like a lot of wheat product, because I love wheat bread. Is that possible?
So I'll kind of focus the answer for you, Herman. There is a phenomenon, if you will, seafood protein and nut protein, whether it be peanut or tree nuts, fish or shellfish, they're highly allergenic proteins. So quite often when you've tolerated nuts and seafood your whole life, all of a sudden you hit the, you know, age of 25, 35, and you can develop symptoms from having seafood or nut allergy sensitization. A lot of times they will have tolerated it, they will have eaten it, they will have consumed it many times, and then all of a sudden, as an adult, they will start to develop symptoms. The sensitizations were probably always there, but the symptoms, yes, can present in an older age. And generally when they present at an older age, they generally tend to be a little bit more severe, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Herman, thank you so much, and I appreciate your phone call. And thank you for suggesting or bringing up the issue of latex. What is a latex allergy?
So our skin can be sensitive, and latex is a contact allergen. And with repeated exposure to certain contact allergens like nickel or latex or certain dyes things that are in personal hygiene products, scents and dyes and things like that, people can develop what we call contact allergen sensitivities to those things. And latex is a common allergen, or I should say a common thing that comes into contact with skin. And over time, your skin can become highly sensitive to that contact allergen. And so a lot of people will have latex allergy. And generally, those people have very sensitive skin and just at baseline.
How do you treat that short of avoidance? But if you have a latex allergy, and I would imagine that would be particularly an issue for someone who goes to a hospital and a doctor in examining you puts on.
Most hospitals have non-latex gloves and equipment. Because a lot of patients are latex allergic, and a lot of healthcare personnel are latex allergic because they're constantly in contact with it. So most hospitals will have non-latex options that are used for patient care and for other reasons. And unfortunately, the only way to really manage latex allergy is avoidance.
What about the rubbing of eyes and dark circles? Does that have any relationship with allergies? And
for some people it does, and some people it's hereditary, or lack of sleep, or other common things, or a combination of all of the above. We call those allergic shiners. If you're truly allergic, we call those allergic shiners, the dark circles. But that's not necessary, or it's just nasal congestion. It's triggering venous congestion under the eye. And so it appears to be dark because of the venous congestion. But if you get a cold, you can get venous congestion under the eye and appear to have dark circles. But a lot of times it's hereditary. It's not necessarily a marker for allergy. But yes, a lot of allergic patients do get the dark circles and puffy eyelids.
Let's talk about treatment. And we've obviously spoken about Zyrtec, and we've not mentioned Claritin. Are they the same thing? What's the difference between some of the more common over-the-counter treatments?
Very little.
Okay.
Antihistamines. Okay. There's very little difference. Claritin, Allegra, Zyrtec are typically the non-sedating antihistamines. Things like Benadryl are the what we call sedating antihistamines. They're different generations of antihistamines. So there's sedating antihistamines, and then there's non-sedating antihistamines. The Claritin, Allegra, and Zyrtec are the non-sedating antihistamines. But a small percentage of patients get mild sedation with things like Zyrtec. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned allergy shots. What is that?
Allergy injections. If you're allergic, you have pollen allergy, cat allergy, dust mite allergy, and medication is no longer,
over-the-counter medication.
Yeah, any medication. Conventional pharmacotherapy is not managing the symptoms. The next level of care to manage allergies, outside of just practicing strict avoidance measures, would be to consider, not everybody's a good candidate, but to consider for allergen what we call immunotherapy, which are allergy injections. They are typically injected in the back of the arm, in the subcutaneous adipose tissue, in the back of the arm. Or for a few allergens, specifically dust mite, ragweed, and grasses, there are now FDA-approved sublingual tablets, which we call sublingual therapy, or SLIT, sublingual immunotherapy. So there's SCIT, which is subcutaneous immunotherapy, which is an injection in the arm, and then there's SLIT, which is sublingual immunotherapy. And they do have several that are FDA-approved, dust mite, ragweed, and grass.
What's in them?
Dust mite, ragweed, and grass.
No, in the
SLIT, they have tablets that are dust mite, they have tablets that are ragweed, and they have tablets that are a grass mix. In the subcutaneous, it's whatever the allergen is that is constructed by the physician.
So how does that work?
It's a desensitization. So you can desensitize to the allergen that you are allergic to improve your tolerance when exposed. And it happens over time. Gradually over time, it's what we call a desensitization.
Hmm, interesting. Does stress have anything to do with allergy symptoms?
Directly, no. Maybe indirectly. You're stressing out because you're allergic.
Okay. Okay. That's fascinating. I only have about 3 minutes left, but I want to make sure that I have a chance to cover all bases. When people outgrow, and I say that with air quotes, what does that actually mean? What is happening with the body when they outgrow?
They develop tolerance.
So how does that work?
It can happen with allergy injections. We'll go back to the skit and the slit, the subcutaneous immunotherapy or the sublingual immunotherapy. You're desensitizing to an allergen and improving your tolerance when exposed, when presented with that allergen. And so they can outgrow over time, but generally that's not outgrowing. You're actually medically inducing that. You're doing a procedure, if you will, a desensitization procedure to improve the tolerance. Outgrow pretty much, I would say, patients are less symptomatic. I don't like to really use the word outgrow. I like to say if they move to a different part of the country where there are less allergens that they're exposed to, if they remove the offending allergen from the home, i.e. the pet, or if they encase the mattress and pillow to avoid dust mite, they may have an improvement in their symptoms and become less symptomatic. So outgrow is more of a general term than I think is just a layman's term, but I think people can become less symptomatic, and then it can wax and wane and get better, get worse, get better, get worse.
Kalila, calling from Victorville, California. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My son gets allergy shots for outdoor allergies. He's been getting them for about a year almost, and he doesn't seem to be showing any improvement. After he gets the shot, he's still very red in the face and eyes running, nose running. They keep saying that it, you know, takes time, but it's been about a year. So is there any way of knowing if the shots just aren't working for him?
Difficult question. I mean, that I would probably recommend you go back and have the same discussion with the doctor that's prescribing the allergy injections. That would be the first step, and have that discussion. They don't seem to be working, and try to see if there's maybe something else he's allergic to that may not be in the serum, mm-hmm. that's causing him to have continued symptoms, or are his symptoms just triggered by something completely outside of having an allergy?
Okay. Another question. If I have a friend who gets the same shot, she said she'll start getting sick if she doesn't get the shot. So now she's gotten to the point where every time she starts getting allergies, she gets her shot, she's good. I'm sure it doesn't work like that for every person, but do you know of that being the case, or is that she just one in a million? Does that happen like that? He's getting used to getting them, so now he needs it. Like, if I just cut him off the shots completely, is there a chance he's going to relapse and be even worse?
So for everyone's immune system is different, and how they respond to immunotherapy is just can be different. If you are truly allergic and you are on immunotherapy to manage specifically what you're allergic to, trees, grasses, weeds, cat, dog, dust mite, mold, cockroach, if you're truly getting, an immunotherapy that is effective for you, and you are truly an allergic person, those two things are going hand in hand. Yes, allergy shots should be beneficial, it's not a cure. It's not a cure, so some people do have to be on them long term, and subsequently, if they're discontinuing them too early or they're not getting them consistently, then yes, they will become symptomatic again if they're truly highly allergic.
Okay, well, Kalila, thank you so much for your phone call, and good luck and good health to your family. Before I go, any resources you want to share with us for anyone who is looking for help in dealing with their allergies?
You know, just being aware of your health, and taking charge and asking the right questions and giving your doctor good information so that the doctor can do appropriate testing and figure out the best approach to take.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Autumn Burnett. I appreciate you coming in, and thank you. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, May 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.